Oh, great. Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
The D and the S were in the cogs.
Huh? Yeah, they were.
It's almost like you did that on purpose.
It's like symmetry. Thanks for interrupting the intro, Nate, which you said prolifically before that you wouldn't do.
Dan did it. It was ruined already. Dan ruined it.
What was the Crippled System episode 124?
Is it, or is that still from last week?
No, I changed it this week, so it's 124.
Plus or minus an episode.
Yeah, 124. My name is Andy. I play board games and sometimes
something.
War Machine. That thing.
I'm Dan.
I am Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
C?
Yay!
C.
I didn't ruin anything. It is Ben C, actually.
Yeah. I thought that was where you were going with that.
Yeah, Ben C. Period.
All right. So, yeah, welcome to another new episode. We have noticed that we are missing a few people. We're missing a Brian and a Brian.
I wouldn't say missing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not right? Missing Brian.
I thought this was an improvement. I'm being here.
Yeah. Ben Cohn is one of our longtime friends. He's been around here for a while. But he has his own podcast, runs Wisco Dice.
Yeah, wiscodice.com.
And it's .org.
That's something.
It's a home star, but the other direction.
Yes.
Now nobody will get to it, so there goes our whole three listeners. They're all confused now.
You got us beat.
Yeah, we only
got like
two,
and they're both British.
Or Swedish.
Or something. Yeah. We got Tort and Pip. That's about it.
That's pretty much it.
Actually, at Gen Con, I was approached by three listeners.
I was sitting in line for random various things, and I ended up speaking to whoever it was, and then I had people in front of me turn around and was like, are you part of Crippled System? I guess I have that voice.
Well, Saturday I was wearing the colorful Zappity Grumble shirt, and so I had two people approach me because I was wearing that. And then Sunday, I saw somebody else wearing a Zappity Grumble shirt.
Hmm.
So I was like,
"Hey!" And cool. It wasn't somebody that you knew, because that's how it goes with me. Is like everybody that I know has got a Zappity Grumble T-shirt.
But listen, don't try to dilute the fact that I. Yeah. Okay. Maybe. I mean, it wasn't no. It's not like a Madisonian. It's like, you know, it was like, I guess it would be like seeing Keith Hooks wearing a Crippled System shirt. I guess technically, you know.
Well, we know Keith.
Yeah, fine. I saw two listeners.
Sometimes.
Are you happy now?
Sometimes we admit we like Keith Hooks.
I have never admitted that.
Oh, you've never have? I honestly have not either. I've admitted that he has beautiful children, but
he
I don't
has
know how.
Yes. It's his, not Twitter. What's that other thing? Facebook. His Facebook feed is all just pictures of his family, and they're, you know, they look like they're generic photos that are in your wallet when you buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess we have to go to announcements. Usually Brian does all the driving on this podcast.
Announcements! There's a tournament in Milwaukee on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not going.
I will be.
You are?
Yep.
Yeah, I had to back out.
I'm mostly doing it so I can get out of working, so.
Oh, well, that works.
Well, there's a board game day in Madison on Saturday.
Yep. True. I'm going to that.
Me too.
Because it's awesome. Then, and I've got a longtime friend there.
Yep. Also, there's a six-pack event on the
22nd.
Thank you. The standard 50-point two-list steamroller.
Correct.
Then there's another six-pack event on September 12th, which is an Escalation League event, or Escalation event.
Yep, I will be running that.
What is it, 15, 25, 35, 50, 75?
Yes. So it's going to be a lot of rounds, but it will go by fast.
The beautiful thing about that point structure is that if you want a colossal, it either has to be in your 15-point list, or you don't get it until 75.
Correct. Correct, yep.
And either of those is hilarious. I mean, the adding it when you get to go in from 50 to 75 is less funny than the fact that if you want it at 35 or 50, you have to start with it.
Yeah, because it's not something like you rebuild the list each time. You have a set standard list, and then you have to build into it.
Yeah.
If you want to have more points going into like round two, you can actually cut your list down to 13 points.
Yeah, you can play up to 2 points down, just like standard Steamroller rules. But whatever you play in a round, every single element, every single model has to be in the next round. You only get to add. You don't get to subtract.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, and you don't get to lower down like unit sizes or anything like
that. You can only increase them.
Yep, correct. Well, can you actually add? You could probably add more like unit attachments.
Can go min max from min to max, and you can add a UA. You just can't go down.
Correct.
Basically, you write your list in ink, and then you can add stuff to it.
Sure.
And there's no erasers.
We'll have the sheets for those up fairly quick. Those Brian asked me to make them. They'll be up this week.
That sounds messy, but.
What?
The sheet for that one.
It shouldn't be too bad because you can have the list and you can just like have a bold line and then you just add what you're adding for the next part.
Yeah.
It's actually going
to
be pretty.
Because you could even note just increase unit to max and then write the number of points difference as a thing.
What I'm going to do for each side of the points there, I'm going to have basically it's going to be like 1 through 13 to 15 and then kind of go that way for all the points levels.
Yeah.
So actually, I mean, you don't have to go to 25 points. You can go to 23 if you want to add something bigger at 35, et cetera, et cetera.
Yay.
Yay.
I don't have any other announcements.
I don't think.
Ben, do you have announcements?
Not unless we're talking about Games Workshop stuff. I don't think so.
Oh, God. Are we going to talk about Age of Sigmar?
No, I would not drop that bomb on this show.
I think it's a prerequisite. I think that's kind of one reason why I brought Ben on, because I wanted to see his reaction after like basically a month of playing Age of Sigmar. I mean, we could bring that up later on, or we can go into it now.
I think we're probably segueing into it right now. So
yeah,
okay. Gen Con can wait.
Gen Con can wait. Age of Sigmar is important, right?
Not really.
Important is all will be in that sentence, not in that order.
Important is different than good or bad. You know, like a mass plague is important.
A plague?
Yeah. Like a plague sweeping the nation would be an important thing. It doesn't mean that it's a good thing. So I will admit Age of Sigmar is important.
Were you saying a plague or a plague?
Those are the same thing.
I didn't. A plague. PLEG?
That's not a word.
Okay, Ben, go on. This will be downhill fast.
So I guess as far as events then, Pegasus Games on the 22nd will be doing our first Age of Sigmar, trying to figure out how to make this game work in a quasi-competitive setting. It is racking the entire community's brain to the point that we are all looking at other games. Most of us, though, have been really doing that. Like, if you go back to Adepticon and looking at all the people that were buying GW product, there was none. They were all selling it and buying Infinity, buying Drop Zone Commander, buying Bolt Action, buying War Machine. It was like a mass exodus, whether they're 40K or Fantasy. So I'm not sure where they're going with this. I'm not hating on Age of Sigmar exactly yet. I'm still working on trying to make that game work. I've got thousands of models that are painted and built in GW's Fantasy settings, so God, I gotta try to figure out how to play with those. But yeah,
you
know sucks.
What you can do. What I've seen, this has kind of been the focal point of the Something Awful thread about Warhammer Fantasy, because they've been talking about a lot, and they've been looking at like using the wounds thing as a structuring thing, or and all these different things, and they finally have found the best way to make it work. Which there's two that have come as discussions. Number one is completely ignored and play 7th edition fantasy with 6th edition army books. They say that's a good way of playing fantasy.
I don't know that I've heard that one yet, but okay.
And as somebody who's played fantasy, I don't know how quickly that makes sense in your brain. I know Andy and Jim both said, that could kind of work. The other thing that I've heard that a lot of people say works really well...
I'm interrupting your thought for a second. I've always loved the actual rule book. We always thought that the rule book for fantasy was good. I just didn't like the army books.
For 7th.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I said a big thing that I've been hearing is play 7th edition rules with 6th edition army books. Which, go home and look at those books and see if it's insane or not. But the other thing, that was plan B. Plan A that has been getting a lot of encouragement, and I was never a big Warhammer Fantasy player, but I would actually be interested in this plan A, which is what you do is you play Kings of War.
Yes. Mantic has definitely coming out with 2nd edition Kings of War, and apparently I think Ronnie has said even to the point that there are going to be additional lists now for some of the GW armies that aren't into the Mantica world.
Don't
so.
You mean like Vermeen or something? What?
I think they
that's
totally,
space rats.
I think they went not straight Skaven. With Ratman.
Yeah, totally but, not Skaven came out either last night or this morning.
I could have sworn I saw like Avatars of War. I think put out literal Skaven rules for their game too.
That's War Throne. That's poking the bear pretty well because that's I know that Skaven's an almost, official
yeah,
GW
that one is
name.
Almost copyrightable.
Skaven is a GW name. That's
yeah. I don't. I'm not sure.
Point is, I've heard nothing but good things about Kings of War, and so
you want some.
So, I'd be interested in trying that out.
So we are going to actually
that one that has almost none in it.
I'll take whatever one. So we are going to go ahead and I think in the month of September we're going to start playing around with Kings of War more at down at the shop down at Pegasus and actually using those rules for trying, you know, seeing if we can get enough people playing with Kings of War on Monday nights. So stop on in if you're interested in September to play it, try it. We've got the second edition rules, both, you know, the free PDF and the I've got the gamer's edition I picked up at Gen Con. So that's going to be something we're going to be trying to try to find a fantasy mass strategy battle game that everybody likes while the community still sorts out this Age of Sigmar mess.
So in fairness, again, when did you say was the we're going to try to make it work event?
The 22nd.
22nd? Okay. Of this month. So yeah. Not this coming Saturday, but the following
the
one.
The following one, yeah.
Sure. I don't know if it's coincidence or Age of Sigmar related, but we've, like, yesterday, or maybe day before, no, it was yesterday, I went into Pegasus because I needed to buy sleeves because I got the Predator card game at Gen Con, and I talked to three people who were interested in having demos of War Machine. So I think a lot of games are having an influx of people just because mm-hmm. they're so confused and angry about Age of Sigmar right now.
Yeah, that being said, at least Pegasus and according to the GW people who were at Gen Con, now this is a positive thing, for the first time in ages, Games Workshop rented a booth at Gen Con. You know, now we're going to transition to Gen Con, right? At Gen Con
got
to do nothing.
Got their normal staff kicked out of customs.
Yes, yeah.
they were there by Sunday, but they were there. All he did all weekend long is get beat up by people coming by and complaining about the game. How do I make this work? How do I play pickup games? How do I do this?
They
how do
even
I do
doing
that?
Demos like that nope. says something about your game when you don't even want to show it.
Well,
so weird
all the basic moves in that for Age of Sigmar is the same. Yeah. I mean, that's basically the same. It's more so the tournament play how do you play a game?
It's not just tournament play. It's the whole fact that you go show up at a pickup game on game night. Like, oh hey, I show up with my Orcs and Goblins. I got 400 models. Oh look, you showed up with the starter set models. Well, according to the rules, I can play all 400 models. Good luck beating me.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem I pointed out. And, of course, the answer was, oh, well, you don't want to be that guy. But oh, wait a minute.
If your game requires social pressure in order to balance itself, there's problems.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason chess doesn't let you just go, well, all my pawns are queens now. Like,
exactly.
The game needs to have a structure that makes it fair.
Exactly.
Some type of point structure or something that actually anything. Has a limitation of what you can bring to the table. It's
and I think, like, you know, I've talked about this. Like, I will never say people can't have fun doing this. You know, you can have fun playing army men. There's no point structure in just going pew pew, my guy goes shoot shoot. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's not a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game, but it's not something you can competitively, like, that's not something that two people who've never met can run into each other at Adepticon, sit down at a table, and have a fair thing that you can then write down on a sheet of paper, and one of you goes a notch closer to getting a championship. Like,
correct. And no war game is perfectly balanced. I think Games Workshop has taken a lot of heat being the biggest company out there for miniature games not being balanced in burning the fan base over. But at the same time, I'm also seeing more new faces come into the store than I have in the last year wanting to play this Age of Sigmar game, at least wanting to try it, wanting to ask questions, wanting to not the balance questions. They're not, you know, at that point, if they've made that much of a decision to like show up on Monday night and push some models around, it's more on how, you know, I want to try this game. I heard I can buy a box of models and play without having to drop $300-$500 on an army. You know, that's a positive out of it. I mean, $35,
Steve,
you play it.
I was talking to Steve at Pegasus yesterday, and he said they've sold out of Age of Sigmar starter sets twice now.
Yeah. They're, well, and you got to equate some of the 40K guys buying the Sigmarines and the Chaos stuff for the Chaos Marines. But
that's true.
But when you take that out, yeah.
I mean, that's probably the most positive fantasy movement they've had in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's fantasy hasn't moved other than our small group buying fantasy that's come over since January.
You say, I have to, because you're talking about, I mean, maybe it's just the initial jump of buying the base set, but Age of Sigmar is ridiculously expensive. Like, those Sigmarines are $10 a guy. It's $50 for a 5-pack. That's like twice the price of units in other games. Like, they are really, really expensive per dude.
That is true, but honestly, GW's prices have been like that for at least five years.
Like, you're saying
we're getting 40k pricing in fantasy right now. So, I would agree, but I'm curious. They're releasing some Chaos stuff this week, and I haven't looked at the pricing for that and how many models you get in a box. So we'll see.
I think they're like Khorne Blood Bleeders.
The Blood Reavers, I think they are. Yeah, Khorne. They're basically old Khorne Marauders is what they are.
Lord Bloodgore, the Blood Blooder.
Yeah, and Skull Skull. Go, yeah. go. Teenage boys, bye.
I was looking at the special rules for their... They've got an upcoming event. I forget what it's called, but one of their official events. And this was so weird to me, because they said that the goofy meta rules were only going to be on some stuff, and they weren't going to do it going forward, and that was just an entry thing. And now they're having the meta rules at this upcoming event. Like, one of them was you got rerolls if your model had green on it, or you had a flower, a live flower with you. They took the flower one off. But then one of the things they had was that you get rerolls...
But this is not. This is like an actual tournament.
Yeah,
that
Games Workshop is whatever. Yeah,
sanctioning some event. Yeah, for their release.
It's some event they're doing, and it's like $100.
Them is it Games Workshop themselves?
Yeah, so, and it's like $100 to go to the thing, but you can't go into the actual hall with that $100. You have to pay like an extra $25 to actually go into the hall. The $100 just lets you like stand in the hallway and cry. But the thing, one of the other things was that if you had skulls on your model, you got like rerolls, and I'm like, is it possible to not have a skull on a Games Workshop model?
I think the high elves don't have skulls.
It was if it has a skull or if the model's dead. And somebody was talking about they were just going to paint the eyes black on all their models and be like, they are dead, just like me, and then just have unbroken eye contact with their opponent until they quit. I'm going to look it up here while you talk.
Here, I have a really simple way of explaining that. They're British. Let's move on.
Yeah, but there's other really good games from Britain. So
that's true. I mean,
Drop Zone Commander.
Which does suffer from traditional British game syndrome. They don't have an index, and their rule book is really hard to parse through.
In their defense, it was one guy that designed all the models, did all the pictures, wrote the rule book.
That's true, but like I said, I've yet to see a British game that actually has an index in their rule book.
I mean, these are the people who play cricket, so let's be fair here.
Or rugby.
The best part about this is...
I mean, I like the action in rugby.
It's fine.
Do you really understand what's all going on.
I actually do, but that's because I, you know, know people who actually play rugby. So I'm cheating here.
Yeah, you're cheating there. But I mean, I know that it's probably almost the same thing with like American football as well, trying to figure out what that's going on. Like when I was young, I had no idea what was going on. But I think that's about the same thing with me and rugby.
The best part of the discussion, I know there's at least one British person watching us live. So, so in about 5 minutes, they're going to be angry.
Yeah,
so it's just the same policy when you're watching rugby as football. Run! Oh!
Cricket is like baseball, but it takes a week and is boring as hell and nothing makes sense.
So baseball.
But that doesn't take a week.
So baseball.
Yeah. I guess baseball if it took a week. Pretty bad. Andy left. If Andy leaves and I'm looking this up, the two of you need to take...
We're doomed. We're supposed to carry the show now.
My phone's refusing to open this website. Yep.
That's coincidental on a non GW podcast.
Did you take a sample of the Blind Rotter brew?
No. All right, let's take a sample of this. It doesn't smell horrible.
You did totally not drink tasted any. That. You and did it's not a
drink
thing.
Any. You did not drink any. Drink some.
Go buy some now. Regret your life later.
Oh, you like it?
No.
So, like, the initial taste is okay, but then
this is bad for
it's like the aftertaste is not that great.
You know, if this was really cold, I might actually drink it. But
Oh, it was cold.
Frozen cold.
Like a can of popsicle? Were just licking it?
I mean, it can still be liquid, but if it's cold enough, you stop tasting some of the subtle parts of it, and then...
There's too much hops into it.
I don't know if it's too much hops. It's because I've had really hoppy IPAs, and I've liked them. The hops that they used just gives you that bad... taste.
Well, it is made from the swamps of the Blind Water.
Is probably accurate. The swamp water that they use to make this is probably
It says it's a fail. Pilsner malt, Belma, and
they're using too many big beer words in that.
Azaka hops and Belgian yeast.
You don't use Belgian yeast in IPAs. That's their mistake.
Hmm. Well, most of the time it's really just a recanning of whatever brew is at the RAM.
So I think if you, what this would be good for is if you used it for like beer brats. Mm-hmm. That I think this would work for.
I got a can left.
See, beer brats. There you go. Don't have to give it to the drain.
To be perfectly honest, the best brew that I use for my beer brats, I love Coors. Coors beer brats are amazing.
I don't think I've bought a Coors since I was 20. I didn't buy beer when I was under 21. No, that wasn't by me.
Old you are, it might have been the time when you could have.
This is at Warhammer World. I found it.
So, Warhammer World. So, this is actually at GW headquarters.
Age of Sigmar campaign weekend, the Battle for the Realm Gates. It's September 19th and 20th. It's some big event, and you can buy tickets, and they cost money and things. And
then, how much were they?
I'll go into that afterwards. But stuff like let's see, here's some special abilities going on with your models when you're there. Remember the meta rules that they weren't going to have going forward. Once per turn, you may restore a lost wound to a model if it has the color green somewhere on it. It used to have, or if you currently have a live flower on your person, but they got rid of that.
Now we can make fun of stuff like that, but like in 40K, GW had like orcs. If you painted your vehicles red, they went faster, and that was like a legitimate rule once upon a time
for 15 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's this wave. I mean, there's now like tons of fancy, freaky, weird rules that make you do things like dance that we really don't want to see. Well, okay, we want to see drunk gamers do.
Call your opponent's mother a whore.
I do not want to do that. I can't believe that's in there. Although that they are British.
What's that Chaos Lord that has Wolfric. That rule? Wolfric?
Yeah, the guy who used Wolfric. To be awesome.
But hey.
He has a rule. Yeah, it's insult your opponent. And in the rules it says be as vulgar and offensive as possible. That's specifically spelled out.
That's impressive for Brits.
If they react, you get a reroll. So not only is it carte blanche to just say, you know, your mother is a filthy prostitute, but you then have to call a judge over to verify whether or not you offended your opponent enough. Anyway, so
I always said we should answer rules discussions in the parking lot. So.
Every model in your army with a skull or dead body on it may charge an extra inch. So all models charge an extra inch is what that boils down to. We're in agreement there.
But if you play... this year. You never charging more than 3 inches away, just about.
Thing is, though, you could have your high elves, you could put skulls on the bases.
If you own a pet and have a photograph of it, or any animal, once per game choose a unit, it may add +1 to its wounds rolls this turn as they are overcome with feral anger.
little fuzzy kitty. That sounds great.
I mean, to be honest with you, it does sound like it might be a really good time to go to it. But at the same time, again, it's if we're looking at it as a competitive tournament environment,
it's not War Machine.
It's not going to work that way.
We do wacky shit all the time in like who's the boss, but that's the exception, not the rule.
Who's the boss is something entirely different. Exactly. It's not a War Machine game. It's an event.
It's something different. Yeah, no, it's I think the whole no points thing, the free rules, all of these kind of things are good. And we've turned this into a GW and not Gen Con podcast.
No, that's fine.
We'll go back.
But I think this whole forgetting about the tournament scene is a major component. If you look at every other little game system that's coming out now, and there are tons of minis game systems, all of them are really driving and focused on trying to get that tournament scene going.
What I've said about this is you can take, let's let's just, for the sake of argument, let's gloss over the fact that this isn't a factual statement, but let's just say War Machine is perfect in competitive play, just for the sake of making this analogy easy and quick. Let's just say it's flawless and perfect, and it's the greatest competitive thing, and there's perfect balance and blah, 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 blah. I can take my War Machine models, and I can go play pew, pew, look at the laser guy dance with a two-year-old with those models. Even though the game itself, the rules are competitive. I cannot take a game that's designed that can only do pew, pew, look at the laser guy dance and turn it into a competitive game. It only works one direction. So in my mind, there's no reason to design a game that isn't competitively perfect because you can always make it goofy and fun. You can't go the other way.
They could come out with some supplements on the new Age of Sigmar to include some type of
it may not be possible, balancing. But it's way harder to go the other way.
It's more difficult.
There's no point in my mind. But anyway, while I have this up to answer the last question, it's 63.23 pounds to get to Age of Sigmar Campaign Weekend. I assume that's about 100 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Allows entry to Warhammer Age of Sigmar Campaign Weekend. Allows you entry to the event and Warhammer facility with the exception of the exhibition halls. Tickets for entries into those can be purchased on the day from the Warhammer World Store.
Wow, so you have to pay $100 just to get into the event, and you can't even go into the store?
Correct. You have to pay extra
to go into the store.
But you can't pre-buy those. You have to buy those after going there, after paying your $100 to go to the event.
Wow. Because Warhammer World, it's just basically the GW Central store. Do you have to pay it again to Warhammer World?
I don't think you have to pay normally to get
Because you went there.
I haven't been to the Britain yet.
Oh, no. I thought you went there.
I haven't been.
Some random trip.
I am hoping to at least speed to the UK sometime in the next year, but not right now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, we know, but.
Anyways.
Gen Con. Did you go to Gen Con?
I did go to Gen Con.
There you go. Great. 75% of us went to Gen Con.
And I'm lazy, so I didn't.
Why didn't you go to Gen Con, Dan?
Because I refuse to take a day off to get a hotel to go to a convention that I'll have to spend a quarter of my vacation time on.
That makes me sad.
It's legit. I am more sad that Dan only has that Gen Con. It's 3 days, would only take up a quarter of your vacation.
Well, part of that's because I'm losing a ton of vacation time for this year and next year for paternity leave. So.
Oh yes, yes.
America.
Yep. Yeah.
So rather than go on that soapbox, why don't you guys talk about you guys having fun?
Well, at least for what I've seen, is more companies are starting to lean towards or starting to. Implement more.
It's getting things. Better. It won't be here by December, so I'm still mad about it.
Just move to Sweden before the baby comes out.
Thought about it.
I mean, okay. I mean, honestly, it's December. It's just going to be cold there, too, so yes. You're going to be fine. So Gen Con. We kind of covered up a couple of things last week about it. We talked about...
One second. Apparently you can get in the store. It's the miniature display hall that you have to pay the extra money for.
Wait, what? Oh, for their little mini museum, probably?
Yeah, they're super displays.
Well, okay, so you don't have to pay extra for the privilege of paying extra.
Yes.
Well, that made... Now, if you're going there to see the museum, honestly, I would actually pay to go see that museum, though. I wouldn't pay to play in the tournament. I just go pay to go to the museum because they have
some of those displays. Some are ridiculous. Just
beautiful looking models, like some of the old Mike McVeigh. Like the one that really sticks out in my head is his Green Knight. I'm sure that's in there. It's got to be in there. If it isn't, I'm rioting.
Fair.
Rabble, Gen Con. We had talked about it a little bit last week, as in Brian, other Brian, and myself.
I like it's unclear which Brian is other Brian, so neither of them can be mad.
That is true.
I like Brian more than Brian, I think.
Other Brian?
He's okay.
I definitely like Brian more than Brian as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a consensus here.
I don't
think Ben even knows other Brian.
Probably not.
But well, he likes Brian more.
Now you're denoting which other Brian is other Brian. At least Ben's eyes, you know which other Brian is other Brian.
But he's not sure which Brian I mean, though.
Well, if he knows one of the Brians, then he knows that the Brian he doesn't know isn't the Brian he knows.
No. But you still like Brian.
Yes. Good. Maybe.
But what about
I'm
Brian?
I'm confused. I'm not sure. I don't know who
maybe
we're talking
is
about
the
anymore.
Correct answer,
you've confused me entirely.
Like I said, maybe was the correct answer. So
Gen Con. I'll go because mine was the shortest because I didn't go for several days. I wasn't going to go to Gen Con. And then on Wednesday before Gen Con, I've said Gen Con several times. That's
Gen Con.
Drinking game. Gen Con, take a shot.
Do I have to?
No. Here, this is. There is a special circle in hell for whoever invented IPAs.
Yeah.
The worst thing about beer is the hops. God, it's just like, oh, okay, this is all right. And then your taste buds just get assaulted.
I don't know.
In the back end.
Like, really good IPAs, like a Dogfish Head 60 minute or a Dogfish Head 90 minute, those are brilliant. As far
that
as an IPA, but it's
rancid aftertaste. They don't, is so
that is that has rancid aftertaste.
Every IPA
and rancid
tastes like
drink.
That.
No, not go drink a Dogfish Head 60 minute. And
I'm not
going to
drink
that.
Something that has fish it head doesn't... in its name.
Man, you're missing something brilliant.
Fish heads never taste good.
You eat Chinese food. How do you, don't judge.
I eat every Chinese food I eat has chicken.
Internet's out there. Tell this guy Dogfish Head. 60 minute IPA is
all
brilliant.
Our listeners are British. They can't help us.
I'll stick with Guinness.
I'll ship
and
you
two women and spotted cow.
60 minute IPA.
Guinness, two women, and spotted cow. That'll get me through.
Spotted cow is so boring.
It's a delicious, crisp, clean pilsner.
It's boring.
That's why I don't drink it as often as I drink two women or Guinness. Gotta admit, a good Guinness. Served warm, of course.
In Ireland.
I usually drink a Guinness with an Irish breakfast, which is the breakfast of champions.
Well,
because it's like 15 different kinds of meat and then one tiny little tomato slice over in the corner, so it technically has a fruit or vegetable serving. Like, for an Irish thing, it has Irish in its name and it doesn't have potatoes, which is the most counterintuitive thing ever.
Well, is it very possible? Sometimes the Irish didn't have potatoes either.
Famously, that is very true. Aw, Black 47. Wah, wah.
Oh,
well,
so
Gen Con.
Let's get off this famine topic.
Everyone died. Yay!
You might have suffered from some famine at Gen Con, though.
No, I annihilated my caloric intake those 3 days.
If you could even get in to get served food.
I went out to, yeah. So my high school buddy said, hey, Nathan, I got a free pass because one of my friends isn't going. I'm like, that's cool, but, you know, hotels are expensive. Like, you can have half a bed. I said, deal. So I talked Gary Fool into also going. So we drove down together Friday night.
Which led to some great live tweeting.
Yeah, it was good. It was his idea, but I was doing Facebook posts with both of our Facebook accounts where we were both yelling at each other about similar things. Like, we both accused each other of farting and we were both going to kill the other one.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of those posts. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Who's going to kill? I don't know.
Yeah, but it was simultaneous, which was double fun, he pointed out, because any of his friends that weren't friends with me only saw him wanting to kill me.
While driving.
Any of my friends that weren't friends with him only saw me wanting to kill him. It was only a select few people that saw both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But so we got to Indiana. We got to Indianapolis just in time. Oh, by the way, we drove through a wind farm. Fuck wind farms. Fuck you, wind farms. You fucking suck. Why aren't you nuclear power? But anyway, so we got to Indianapolis. Well, we just drove through shitloads of windmills that weren't turning.
Oh.
And they all had blinky red lights on the blades, which meant that they were actively giving us negative energy.
Mm.
Thanks, wind farms, you fucking lies.
Didn't
They're
you
all lies.
Isn't there also like a nuclear power plant you drive by too, though?
Not that I saw. Every wind farm should just be a nuclear power plant, and then we'd all have infinite free power, and it'd be great. Long story short, we got to Indianapolis, and we got there just as a One Direction concert was getting out. So, just boom, right in the middle of town, shitloads of cars.
Was that Friday night?
Oh, that does
Yeah, that was Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a One Direction thing, and I think there was something. Oh, there was a baseball game downtown,
there
too.
There was a
that
baseball game. We drove through Lollapalooza. So, we drove through Chicago with Lollapalooza, and then we got to Indianapolis just in time for a baseball game and a One Direction concert to get out.
Yeah.
So, there was dick all for parking, and traffic was the parking. So that was a lot of fun.
So speaking of One Direction, this is a great time. Chili wants to know who got the T-Swift reference wrong so he can call them out.
Oh, it was just some friends of a friend. He wouldn't know them. They were, I said, I went to a buddy's house and we were playing like a charade style game. And the correct answer was Taylor Swift. And I guessed Tay-Tay and credit was not given to me. And then when somebody else got it as Taylor Swift and I insisted that I had guessed Taylor Swift, they said, no, you said Tay-Tay and nobody calls her that. And I about blew my lid because all us true fans call her Tay-Tay. All the time. Tay Tay makes me go, hey, hey. Anyway,
oh,
so we get there Friday night. hey. We got there Friday night. We played board game or whatever. Fuck all. And I said, I don't even think it did anything. Long story short, I bought the Predator deck building game, Legendary. I bought Strife because Will Pagani made me buy Strife. I went down to the Gen Con booth. I talked to Tim, the Enchanter, the judge. He was nice. And then some guy yelled at me for a while. And then I talked to Tim some more. No, it's some random guy. Because we were having that Age of Sigmar discussion. And we were talking about the game. And I was saying, you know, blah, 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 this and everything. And then, as I was kind of expecting, a guy came up and was just like, fuck you, you fucking fucker. You can go fuck yourself. Don't you fucking fuck. You don't even know. And I'm like, I don't think I ever said anything bad about you. So you're just really out of nowhere here. But... people like to turn discussions into arguments. It's natural. He was probably drunk because it was Saturday night, 2 in the morning at a convention. So, whatever. We shook hands and made up, and then we played coup. But anyway, yeah, talked to Tim. Guy yelled at me, talked to Tim. Aggie shook her boobs at me, talked to Tim, played coup, went to sleep. And then Sunday, I bought Strife, good times, went home. My Gen Con was not very eventful now that I say it out loud. I did nothing but play some board games and wander the halls. I tried to find the Conan booth. They said they were by Asmodee. I could not find them. I think they were liars.
I don't remember the Conan booth at all.
I found the Conan Rise of Monsters, which is going to be a miniatures game.
Sure.
Which is kind of cool. The coolest thing about Conan Rise of Monsters is the acronym. C-R-O-M.
Hmm.
I wonder how long they tried to think of a title that would acronym to Crom.
Hmm. Oh, that spells Crom. No. I did that on purpose.
That was my Gen Con.
Crom.
My Gen Con was basically, I did demos for Undercity for pretty much the entire con.
That was part of my Gen Con too, is Andy tried to talk me into playing Undercity like 4 times, and I blew him off all 4 times.
Yeah, fuck you.
I felt a little bad about it. I was going to tell you to bring Undercity next Saturday, because I'll play it.
I'll have it next Saturday.
I mean, this Saturday. This Saturday? Yeah, because next Saturday is the six-pack. This Saturday is the gaming.
Correct. That's why when we were downstairs talking about the event, and I said next Saturday, specifically hoping that would set you off.
No, obvious troll is obvious.
Okay, all right.
Because I knew. Because you looked right at me and you went, next Saturday? I'm like, I'm on to you.
Why did you tell that story again about... We never heard it on the podcast.
We were going to tell a story. Oh. There was some other story. Oh, you were going to talk about the movie.
Oh, yes. We're still talking about Gen Con.
Fuck it. We'll get back to it. And then we'll talk about the models that were spoiled at Gen Con. I don't know if you talked about that last week.
No, we didn't talk about
that. So we'll talk about that shit and everything will be great.
Well, I did Undercity. I checked out some few events. Or not a few events, a few vendors in that. Now I'm lost. I'm confused because there's chats going on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so this weekend, starting, I believe, on Wednesday, when the first reviews of it came out, I decided that I was going to run a new movie paint train. And so I sent out a tentative feeler out to Nathan and a tentative feeler out to our other participant, Jeff, who's usually on our movie paint trains, about going to go see a movie on Saturday morning. The problem is, though, on Wednesday when I looked it up, the movie was currently at 20%.
That's pretty high, actually.
It was actually pretty high.
That's almost where the 2004 version was.
Yes. So I thought, I guess this is potentially doable. You know, they held on the reviews. They had an embargo on the reviews until closer to the release date. And then by Friday night, the movie slowly dwindled down to, I think it's currently 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm checking it up.
Yeah.
And at that point, I felt disheartened. I was like, oh, this is going to be very painful. I still haven't mentioned what movie we're seeing yet.
9%, 25% for audience.
Yes. Awesome. So then I sent another text to Nate about it, and then Nate sent a text back to me. He says, I'm working. I'm like, well, what? You're working?
I work retail. I work alternate weekends.
Yeah. So he was working the weekend, so we couldn't actually see the show.
Right. Well, if we saw it, it would have been full price instead of matinee.
Correct.
Which is much less attractive.
You're not going to pay full price for that movie, especially at 9%. So I was very happy that your schedule has forced me not to see Fantastic Four. Actually, the best part is the text that was going in between me and you on Wednesday when I was trying to lay out the hint of the movie.
Yes.
It was like, oh, we'll see a movie Saturday. It'll be fantastic.
No.
So, my
favorite part from the people talking about it is apparently Sue Storm's hair gets blonder the more power she gets. Like, they fucked up the wig that bad that her hair legitimately goes blonder the further into the movie it is.
Apparently the villain is green marbles. I have not gotten more details than that, but the villain is green marbles.
Oh my God, now I want to see this, yeah. This travesty. I really know, I want to find somebody in our group that is a big Marvel fan. I mean, you and I are pretty decent Marvel fans. That I really want to do this. I still want to do this movie.
Do you want to try and find something that'll top Nathan's reaction to RoboCop?
No. Cause,
well, that's true. There are no Fantastic Four.
There is no Fantastic Four.
Even Marvel fans just don't give a shit about the Fantastic Four. Like, they're classic and they're like the oldest and one of the originals, but really,
they show
nobody
that they're,
cares. Yeah.
What I tried to do on Wednesday is I tried to get a hold of Roger Corman?
Yeah.
I tried to get a hold of his original one that was made in 94.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a copy of that, and I wanted to have us watch both of them to find out which one is the worst.
I think the Roger Corman is universally respected as being the best of the four Fantastic Four films.
Yeah, I think so, yes. Because it's cheesy, but it's like a lovable... It's a lovable cheesy. It's like he had such a limited budget to it, but he had... You know,
schlocky,
what he did with it.
Yeah, a schlocky, cheesy B movie with some heart to it is mm-hmm. better than a hollow Hollywood pile of shit.
That was produced for the sole reason of keeping the license in Fox hands.
Right.
Well, both of them were made to keep the license in their hands.
But Corman didn't know it.
I don't think.
Or at least maybe the actors and actresses didn't. The point is it's bad. It's almost like a high school or junior high play where, like, it's not good, but you can tell they're trying.
They're trying
and
hard.
You kind of have to give it to them that they're trying, and it's good for you. The Corman one at least has that going for it.
I'm going to have a horrible analogy here. It's like the fat kid who's on the cross country team.
Yeah.
He's going to finish the race dead last, but... You're going to cheer for him because he's got the heart to finish the race.
Good for you, Tubby.
Damn it, that was me.
That was three of us, I think.
No, I was actually at the top of the cross-country team.
Yeah, you were skinny at the time.
I was a buck 25 back then. Not so much anymore. You could pretty much...
Could you rearrange those numbers?
You could double them.
Yeah.
That's
close.
I'm less than double than a buck 25, so that's good.
Oh yeah,
but sadness. I think we're still gonna see it. You're gonna be in Milwaukee tomorrow, so we can't see it tomorrow. We can't
you
see
can
it
call
on Tuesday.
Sick on Tuesday, we could see it in the morning. Go in late.
Well, it'd be just you and I then.
Yeah. Whatever. So we'll end up seeing it at some time.
It'll
be terrible.
You two go see it and have Jeff pay you for the honor of not taking him along.
Yeah, there you go. Jeff will pay for our tickets in exchange for not having.
No,
to
Jeff.
See it.
Jeff won't pay for it. So that was a plan. It was going to be a nice movie paint dream, but not so much.
That reminds me of the story that you didn't let me tell with this words talk anecdote. So sometimes things don't work and you don't know why they don't work. Like, for example, you have headphones and you have them plugged in your computer and nobody can hear you through the microphone. And you're like, that should work. And you check in Skype and it's like, your microphone's working fine, but nothing's coming through. And you check in the control panel. It's like, your microphone's working fine and that's coming true. Through. So there's two ways to deal with something that doesn't work and you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Way one is figure out why it doesn't work and solve that problem. Way two is make it not work in a way that you know why it doesn't work now. So now I have a microphone that still doesn't work, but if somebody's like, why doesn't your microphone work? I don't have to say, I don't know. I can say it's in 17 different pieces and I smashed it with a hammer and now it doesn't work. So that's a pro tip. You can solve the situation.
Yeah.
At least Nathan does esports.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can at least have a reason behind things not working anymore.
Now I know why it doesn't work. It doesn't bug me anymore.
Okay. poor Chris.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to play with me anyway. So Gen Con, Ben. Come on, man. Get with the program. It's your turn to talk about Gen Con.
Oh, it's my turn now. Okay. Gen Con. We went down, I guess, this time the longest I've been down to Gen Con since it was in Wisconsin, I think. So the group I go with went down on Thursday. We did the Big True Dungeon kind of thing this year. We did both events, both puzzle orientated.
How was the sign up for that? I heard that they moved the sign up for True Dungeon completely off Gen Con schedule.
Correct. But I didn't buy any tickets, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But our kind of our group leaders, kind of the people that are organized our trip, pretty mm-hmm. much they took care of buying the tickets. We just had to pay them. So
okay,
thank you, Mr. Jason and Sean. They did a great job of buying our tickets. I had a great time. But we had a group of like 10 folks actually. Mm-hmm. So it was like both of our time slots was all our party, nobody else outside. And there were a few first timers. I got to say, from True Dungeon back when, like, I remember when it kind of started up, and it wasn't the coolest thing at Gen Con, to what it is now. It was really, it started my second year doing it.
Sure.
It was really cool. I did both the Sable and the Into the Underdark events. And yeah, both of them were really cool. It was really cool getting some of the actors, the volunteer actors that were doing some of the parts, the drow, I think there was some kind of snake beast. They were really cool. They took heckling really well because we heckled them pretty hard and didn't get very upset. I think there was one drow that was a little too touchy-feely with some of our group. Made him feel a little uncomfortable, but that's okay too, maybe, I guess, in the great scheme of things.
Maybe she was a thief.
I'm not sure that was what she was stealing. Not on me though.
Maybe she was a sexual predator.
That would be more likely.
it sounds like a Denzian of
I was
of
sick
the
of
Underdark.
Subtlety, so I was like, let's just go right out there.
Oh, okay.
But I just kind of keep this short and sweet for purposes of you guys out there. Biggest things besides True Dungeon that I thought I did or saw was the game Code Words.
Yeah.
That game, tons of fun.
You know how you know it's an amazing game? You look on the box, you look at the top, and it says Vlada Shvatil, and you go, this game is a fucking masterpiece.
Pretty much.
Because that's a 100% true logical leap.
What other games does he do?
Dungeon Lords.
Dungeon Lords, Galaxy Trucker, Space Alert,
okay.
Mage yep. Knight.
Okay, Mage Knight, probably not so much. But
Mage Knight's fucking amazing if you play co-op.
Maybe, as long as you don't get stuck in the, okay, it's now an hour and I haven't had a turn.
Yeah, so you have to, it is a game that people need to not take 15 hours taking their turn. You can't play with people who do analysis paralysis. People need to just play the damn game.
Which is almost inevitable that you're going to have one
sure,
person.
Yeah. So depends on the group. Mage Knight can grind to a halt. I'll grant you that.
Yep. Sheriff of Nottingham. Of course, that's always fun. I actually ended up playing in the, there's a trick-taking game called Diamonds. So if you're looking for something maybe to get your parents or something into, that's a really cool game. I actually played in the Diamonds tournament, just kind of last-minute decision. They're like, oh, hey, I got an extra ticket. I'm like, okay, I'll play. I made it all the way to the semifinal, so... pretty close to getting myself a $500 shopping spree at Stronghold Games, so that was pretty cool. And then I picked up the game. Oh, crud! Now I lost.
It's a weird
the,
game.
The BSG. What's the BSG?
Oh, the one that was BSG Express, but yeah, they BSG changed Express. Its name. Dark Skies, Dark Moon.
Dark Moon. It is.
Is it Dark Moon? Okay.
So I picked that up. We didn't actually get a chance to play it yet, but it looks brilliant. Yeah. I love BSG. Like, there's nothing better than calling people fracking toasters for 4 hours. But this is going to be able to get it so I can play it in a game night.
Have you heard the greatest BSG game that we've had? Well,
no,
there might
probably
be
not.
Two of these. One which was great, which was that it was a 5-player game. I took my turn. It got us to the midway point where you get a second card. I got a card, and it made me a Cylon. The humans won before I got another turn.
Ugh.
They literally went enough distance and the additional jump in 4-player turns.
So last game of BSG I played, we do this event called Cabin Con. We all, a bunch of us, run out to this cabin, and on Saturday morning we play BSG.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the table, we're like about 3/4 of the way through the game. We have 6 players playing. There's 3 human players in a row, and then 3 Cylon players in a row. It was the most brutal, like, you like, get
two
through the
Cylons
human...
Two Cylons and a Cylon leader, or...
Sympathizer,
yeah. Oh, Sympathizer, okay, so yeah, not the leader.
So, yeah, so you'd get through our turns, And then we got boarded near the end of the game, or at the end of the game, we got boarded when the Raiders hit our ship. Sure. So and it was really boom, a 4+ die roll. We whiffed it, didn't kill the Raider. They just moved it. Okay, we lose. The other
like, oh! So it was four of us who knew what we were doing, and one of Keith Christensen's friends, who was his first game ever. And he ended up being a revealed Cylon. And he's running around doing his stuff, whatever. And then we think Katie's the other Cylon, so we put her in the brig. Because someone has to be the other Cylon, because he's not giving his other card to anybody. And we flat out said, if you're the Cylon, you need to give your card to somebody, because you're just going to lose if you're alone. He's like, I know. So whatever. So someone's the Cylon. Katie's the most suspicious. We throw our ass in the brig. We play. Right before the human jump, like, we are at 3 of 4 on the jump track. There's no risk of danger to everything. Everything's blue. Everything's fucking amazing. The last action of the game as a Cylon, he passes another card to Keith, and it's the other You're a Cylon card. Oh. Just says, here you go, Keith. Whoops. Go fuck yourself. And then humans jump, Cylons lose. So Keith is just like...
Oh. I think it was the first time the humans have won as well.
It might have been. It was glorious to watch Keith just get boned for no reason. Because we had told that guy 100 times. Like, oh, it was great. Fuck you, Keith.
Who's love that game. Very close, very, very close to moving back.
Yeah.
I heard back up and running 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, right now they're two weeks in to search for apartments and housing and that. And then,
which is cool.
Then here permanently. And then, unfortunately, Muse records on Sundays.
And?
He's Skyping into them.
Oh, he's Skyping in? Well, fuck that. He'll just come over to us eventually.
Yeah, he should just join us. Yeah. I told him he could Skype in and be on our podcast at the same time.
That'll work. Yeah, we'll just Skype it over. He'll just be responding to our conversation, and they'll have to work it in.
Yeah. So we'll go up, and they'll go down.
Is that a euphemism?
Quite possibly.
Gen Con. You were still talking.
I think I kind of wrapped it up, but I would note the other thing that I thought was really cool was getting to see, if you're fans of Drop Zone Commander at all, getting to meet Dave, who's the creator of that game, basically the guy that's the sole visionary and happened to realize it was too much work and got a sales guy for his employee. But I got to meet him, and then getting to see their new game that some of the models are coming out for that, which is the Drop Fleet Commander, which hopefully, if you're a fan of that old Battlefleet Gothic game, is hopefully going to kind of fill that niche, because there's really not a good, in my opinion, there's not a good miniatures game that fits that, you know, space, ship, battle.
One could say Armada is kind of getting closer to that.
It is, but I've heard a lot of grumble about it not being as fun as it should be, so I've not bought it.
It's not spaceships, but what's the one with, like, the Prussians and then, like,
you're talking
Dystopian Wars.
Dystopian
Wars. Yeah, the Spartan Games ones.
Well, I've heard that's a really fun game, but I'm just not turned on. Same thing that Warjacks don't turn me on. It's...
The problem with the Spartan game system is, number one, exploding 9-6s can get really frustrating. If you have someone who gets hot, they get super hot. But then the other problem is Spartan Games keeps shooting themselves in the foot by either rapidly releasing stuff so quickly that you can't keep up, or not touching a game for a year. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard as a player to stay engaged, because either you're buying new models and downloading new rules every 2 weeks for your stuff, or you don't get anything for 18 months.
Fair enough.
So they need to get on a more regular release cadence. That, and they also spin up a new game every 3 months, so they keep getting distracted.
So did you know, Nate, that the voice of Crow was at Gen Con?
Trace Beaulieu?
Yeah.
Or the new voice of Crow?
Because
Kevin Murphy, or no, Kevin Murphy was Bill Corbett. Because Trace Beaulieu, who was Dr. Forrester, played Crow for the first like 4 or 5 seasons during the Joel years, and then he left, and Bill Corbett did Crow after that.
It's probably him. I think it was him.
It's fine, because he's one of the Rift Tracks guys. Trace Beaulieu and Joel are both on some Yahoo show called Other Space. That has the two of them, and then the chick from the AT&T commercials. That's all I know about it. True story.
I knew that Crow was there. That's all I know.
One of the two. Yeah.
I've watched that show so many years ago.
Oh, so fucking good. It's still.
I just haven't watched it even remotely recent. But he was there. It. I don't know. This Gen Con was pretty decent. It was. It didn't seem as ridiculously crowded.
Saturday was. It felt very not crowded, but Friday and Thursday, I thought, when walking around the exhibition hall, I thought it was just ridiculous for those 2 days. So I'm kind of wondering if a lot of people that were 4 day passes went and did a lot of their shopping up front, trying to avoid the Saturday crowdedness. And then that line Sunday morning was pretty ridiculous for family tickets, for the 1 day Sunday tickets. Mm. It was wrapped around the building and out the door.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was, yeah. Of course, I did spend a lot of my time in the actual game hall.
Yeah.
So my and our hotel was like right across the way of the game hall, so it wasn't that bad. I didn't like going outside at all because goddamn it was muggy.
I only went outside once to get jerk pork. It was good stuff.
Yeah, you were talking about waiting in line for food. Food. If you were going, they had a huge line of just random trucks,
yeah,
and then the food inside actually wasn't, the lines were that bad. Were you talking like going to the Ram or anything like that?
No, even, well, those two, but even the food carts were, we had a couple people in our party really frustrated with the food carts this year. They're taking really long time, and there's, you know, it took half an hour to get through the line, and then you get to the line, it takes another 15-20 minutes, and then you get your food and there's nowhere to sit.
Mm. I was lucky, the buddy who got me in, his wife is a gold member of Marriott or whatever, so I had access to the concierge lounge up on the 31st floor, so I could just go in there any time of day and get, you know, pie and bacon and alcohol and stuff.
Hmm.
So I ate way too much food just by going up there.
You should have dragged some people with you.
I did.
Like, I'm important.
I took Brian and the Shays up there. That's how Katie had like 4 glasses of wine anytime that she was playing board games. She would go up there and just get 2 glasses of wine, like one for each hand, and bring them back down with her.
Why didn't you invite me?
I don't know. Because you were always busy doing the game hall.
No, I was only doing the game hall until 6. Then I was done.
Oh, well, I never played any board games with you. If I had seen you around a dinner time or a breakfast time or a lunch time, I would have taken you up there to get free food. They had really good cheese. And some pie.
It's not helping.
Bacon and eggs.
You want some more blind water brew?
Yeah.
Fish head flavored.
I'm telling you, it's good stuff.
To be honest with you, it's not bad as a sipping drink, because after a while you forget how bad it tastes, and you have another sip, and you're like, oh yeah, now I remember. And then
it's the candy corn of beers.
Corn's so good though. If there is candy corn beer, I would drink that.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Oh, I'm sure. I'm 100% sure there is. It's got to be a Jones flavor.
And no, but it's made in like different. Was it viscosity?
Yeah.
So it actually separates itself. That would be great.
You only think candy corn is good because you haven't had it recently. Because candy corn's that way. You're like, candy corn must be good. And then you eat a piece, you're like, why?
We have a Fleet Farm down the street. We can go and get candy corn whenever we want.
Oh, that's terrible. It's fucking
candy corn. It's so good.
They're not as bad as Circus Peanuts, I'll grant you that.
That's bad. Circus Peanuts are bad.
How do those?
Because that's just one flavor candy corn.
No, it's even worse than Circus Peanuts. Chocolate-covered Circus Peanuts.
What? That sounds...
It's basically edible diabetes. You eat it and you're like, wow, my pancreas just went on strike.
You know what's worse than that? Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. Nothing.
Chocolate-covered circus peanuts with coconut. That would be pretty much the worst thing.
The coconut would...
Somebody should make that.
Ugh.
Next time the Shays have a party, I'm bringing that. Chocolate-covered circus peanuts.
Zappity grumble.
All right. So Ben doesn't know this. Dan knows this. This is our
You guys got it?
Random, I have Facebook.
Oh, God damn. Fuck you. This is our random kind of...
It's the lightning round.
It's lightning round. It was named that way because Nathan doesn't know how to make lightning sounds.
Do you know a better sound for lightning to make than zappity? Huh? I'm waiting, smart guy. There we go.
I think his phone's more important than your conversation.
Pretty much, pretty
Benoit
much.
Benoit Van Lee.
I don't think there's anybody on
Unbound, fun, or why are you playing this? And how long would you set a death clock for it? I've never played Unbound because I'm not an idiot. I'm sure it might be fun if you're psychotic. So
we should at least sit down and try it sometime, because I tried playing it at Lock and Load. We got through like two turns before I basically it's not like I was quitting it because it was Unbound. I was quitting it because I was going on to a tour to go see Nintendo headquarters. So
just for us people that don't know what that is, that's probably none of your listeners.
Plus three casters plus, and there's extra rules for certain formations. Okay.
So it's just a large version.
Yeah, it's a huge game, but instead of you take your whole turn and then I take my whole turn like you would if you were just playing a three caster game, you basically take turns activating a third of your army.
Okay.
So there's more, but it's still, you're still playing a goddamn three caster marathon game. I mean, it still takes forever.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'd say the largest one I ever did is Rick and I did a two-caster 100-point game for a league game just to grind out, like, 60 points at once. But that still took, like, 6 hours.
But that's not even an Unbound game. That's just a two-caster game.
And that was
about
as big as I want to go.
In Mark 1, Brian and I played a three- or four-caster, like, 2,000-point game once. And it was hell.
It's not as bad, at least when I started it. I would like to play it through full once. But
well, I look at it the same way as when I played 40K looking at Apocalypse. If you get a group of people that you know are going to treat it as the more narrative style game that it is and not hyper cheese it out, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Two, if you plan it in advance so that people don't spend the first hour coming up with their lists and the scenario and all that kind of stuff, you'll be better off because that's another hour of playtime that you have. So, I mean, if you approach it with some care and diligence, it probably is an okay way to blow a Saturday. But I would never want to do anything like, want to play an Unbound game tonight.
If you want to play a, you know, 4 to 5 hour long three caster game, Unbound is actually a really well designed rule set to do that. I would rather play Unbound than just play a 150-point game.
With three casters.
By far, I would rather play it with the Unbound thing, but I would just rather do neither of those. I would rather just play three normal games of War Machine.
I think the reason why they made it so it was three casters there, because if you have super cheesed out casters, you could probably eliminate your opponent's army on just one turn.
Oh, yeah.
Just with all of them together. But yeah. And Death Clock, you technically don't. There's really no way you can really set a Death Clock for that.
I mean, unless you just did like just 3 hours.
Just do 10-minute turns.
Grumble. Robert Drafsky asks, where do you stand in John Christensen's candidate for presidency of War Machine?
Zappity.
Grumble. Wilhan Pip asks, tips for dating someone whose first language is not English? How good is their English?
Yeah.
Like, do they have a second language?
It said not their first language, so they would imply that English would be maybe a second language. I don't know.
How much are you planning on talking to them?
Yeah, it depends.
More importantly, how much are they interested in your War Machine?
Is that a euphemism?
That's both that definitions.
Well, he's British, so there's probably some, like, Frenchy girl who, you know...
Frenchy.
Or German, I don't know. It's got to be some... It's not... If this was an American, it would probably be a Hispanic.
Or Canadian.
They speak, I guess... For again, mail a Frenchy order. Girl. I don't know. You're a nerd. Be happy you're dating anyone.
Actually, yeah. It also depends on how much money it costs.
What?
Zabity.
Oh, Pip, I believe in you. Joseph Wynn asks, in case you guys care, something happened at 3 this afternoon. So
what?
We missed it. Polyhedron Cosplay did a Twitch feed at 3 Central Time where they were working on a Raven cosplay.
Oh.
It was cool. Raven does good cosplays. So, you know, go back in time 4 hours and you could watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rohan asks, what your favorite sci-fi show is?
My Skiffy show?
Yes. MST3K is up there for me, if it counts.
We can go round table on this. Go to me last, because I can't think right now.
I have... let's see. Babylon 5 is probably the best science fiction show that was ever made.
So are we doing sci-fi channel or sci-fi genre?
I think in this case I did both.
Okay.
But I think it's sci-fi genre.
Okay.
Because it's S-C-I-F-I, not S-F-Y-F-Y-E-Y or whatever their stupid shit name is now. But I'm going Babylon 5. But best and favorite are the same, because I can watch Infinite Stargate SG-1 as long as it's from when MacGyver was on it. I never get tired of that. So I'm cheating and giving two answers. Most fun and best quality are two different things.
Okay. I'm going to do Futurama.
Son of a bitch.
My favorite sci-fi, I'm just going to say movie, is Jason X. Done. Also Andromeda. So it's basically Andromeda and Jason X.
Andromeda?
Well, no. No, no. You watch
Hercules,
Jason X.
The Legendary Journeys in Space.
I didn't say Andromeda is, but they're based, the entire cast is pretty much in Jason in Space. Actually, for TV shows, I like the Star Trek. Basically, Deep Space Nine is probably my favorite series.
So Babylon 5.
No, Deep Space Nine.
So Babylon 5.
Babylon 5 does not have Sisko. Nor does it have a Defiant.
No, it has Garibaldi.
Nor does it have the Cardassians, or the Kardashians either. So
it has the
Can you imagine the Kardashians if they were the villains in Deep Space Nine?
I actually imagine that constantly. Babylon 5 has Garibaldi and Ivanova. Ivanova.
No.
You've never watched Babylon 5.
No. I watched I think the first season. I think I was.
Oh,
done.
Well, that's the yes.
Yeah,
okay.
But Deep Space Nine. Come on, Jadzia Dax.
Come at me, bro.
Jadzia Dax.
That's the wrong Dax.
I don't care what body that he is. That, whatever.
Just talk
the body matters. Just,
yeah, I would lean Battlestar Galactica, or yeah, barely Battlestar Galactica.
If Battlestar Galactica had just two seasons and got canceled, I would agree with you.
Just ignore the tail end.
It's like Lost. If Lost was one season, it would be the greatest television show in the history of mankind.
But those first two or three seasons, I can sit down and watch over and over and over. Thank you, Netflix. I don't think there's anything else sci-fi that I can power through like that.
None of us said Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
None of us said fucking Firefly.
It would have to be. We're talking like a sci-fi series.
Every time,
and it's a series.
Doesn't count.
Every time I watch Firefly, I just get sad at the end because it just leaves you wanting.
Yeah,
and then you get a movie that
doesn't.
Well, it just doesn't. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like my favorite internet joke of recent times has been, "How do Reavers clean their spears?"
They put them through the wall. I'm sorry, I glenned you.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, I was.
I loved the April Fool's joke when Netflix put up new episode alert on Firefly.
God,
you know, new episodes.
To be perfectly honest,
dick move.
Thinking about this, so when did Star Trek the original series? When did that go off the air? Was it like 68?
Yeah, 68, 69, something
like that. So it was about 12 years or so before they actually really started putting the money into making it until then into Star Trek II, the new series, before then they decide, okay, we're just going to make the motion picture instead.
Right.
We're about that for Firefly.
Isn't it depressing that Firefly's been gone for a decade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, but thing is, though, that could easily be another eventual series being remade.
Thank you, Tort.
Tort referenced the Glenn story. What toppings do you guys put on your hot dogs? Afraid not, indeed. What toppings do you guys put on your hot dogs? Chicago style or just ketchup?
Ketchup? No. Actually, mustard. Mustard on hot dogs.
Yeah. Good spicy brown mustard.
Yeah. I as a child, hated God, I can't.
The Jews?
No, man. Why can't I think of this? Why can't I think of the coleslaw? Not coleslaw, but
relish.
No.
Wait, if it's not coleslaw, and it's not like I assumed that was you trying to remember relish. What coleslaw-esque thing that isn't relish
ketchup.
Do you put onto your hot dogs?
God damn it! You put it on brats then too.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut. Fuck me! Why couldn't I remember that? Oh. But as a child, I hated sauerkraut so much until one time I was down with my dad down in Florida on vacation. I ate a hot dog stand, and my dad made me eat the hot dog with sauerkraut on it.
Sauerkraut and brown mustard?
So fucking good.
That's how you eat brats.
So good.
Brats is sauerkraut and brown mustard.
Yes.
And maybe horseradish.
Well,
horseradish.
The mustard has the tanginess.
Yeah.
My go-to Chicago style is always a correct choice.
What is Chicago style?
Chicago style
poppy seed bun.
Poppy seed bun, yellow mustard, mm-hmm. Tomato chunks, not ketchup, actual chunks of tomato, mm-hmm. Hot peppers and relish and celery, salt and onions.
Yep.
Yellow mustard, relish, onions, celery, salt, hot peppers. Oh, and a whole pickle whoop spear. Just shoved right on there in a poppy seed bun.
This sounds like something that you would put in a trap to never catch or Brian.
Correct. But Chicago style is fucking amazing. You know, you get a nice oversized hot dog so that the hot dog isn't dwarfed by the toppings. Chicago style is always good. My favorite thing, we'll just go to a fucking Home Depot and get a Chicago style bun. They have them in the front of every Home Depot in Wisconsin, in the entry hall. They have the hot dog stand. But Chicago style is always good. Otherwise, what I'll do with gas station hot dogs, which sounds weird until you kind of think about it for a second, is I will put yellow mustard and mayonnaise on my hot dog, which sounds weird, except if that hot dog was flat, I'm just having a standard deli sandwich, and mustard and mayonnaise is fine on a deli sandwich, so it's not actually weird. God damn it.
And overcooked.
I was lost until you explained it, and then...
It's just a fucking... Yeah. It's a bologna sandwich in tube form, so just put some mayonnaise and mustard on it. Plus, mayonnaise is good on everything.
I would say pulled pork, a little barbecue on that hot dog, but kind of, I think it's a Memphis style, really good.
Well, Memphis style is when you put coleslaw on the pulled pork.
Is it coleslaw too?
I think Memphis style refers to putting coleslaw onto a barbecue sandwich. I believe that's what the term Memphis style means, is the coleslaw edition.
I swear I saw I had one that...
They might have called
whatever.
That.
I mean, the joint that I had it at was, they called it Memphis style.
I mean, that does sound delicious.
They put pork and barbecue sauce. It was
additional meat.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
And then if you throw some bacon on top of that too, you get the size. It's great.
That's how we survive Wisconsin winters. Yes. It's like our built-in tauntaun flesh.
I thought you spelled that.
Zappity.
Trump as president, Scott Walker as president, or living in Illinois for eternity. Pick one.
I would live in Illinois.
Scott Walker for president so we could be rid of him.
High five. That's my answer, too.
Yeah, that probably is the least bad option, though.
Scott Walker as president with a Democratic House and Senate, so he's gridlocked and can't actually do anything. And then Wisconsin can recover without him.
Except then we get catfish.
Then we get catfished?
No, the lieutenant governor.
Like, people pretend to be hot young women and they turn out not to be?
Scott, what?
Why are you excited about
this?
That's what catfishing is.
No, did you see the shot of Scott? Girls? The shot of Scott Walker with some fans that asked him to pose with a picture for him?
The check.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But did you hear about the Ukrainian girls who catfished ISIS?
Oh, yes, yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. They're not going to see any time for that.
Good.
Yeah, that's very good.
So, I don't know. You said Illinois. We're going Scott Walker.
To be... The inner person in me that loves some reality television would really enjoy Donald Trump as our president, but at the same time,
I would enjoy him as president. I would like watch a fictional TV show where he was president.
Yes,
kind of like the Futurama Adam West, just playing Adam West.
If any of the current 17 Republican nominees became our president, I would eat a gun so quickly.
Yeah, I don't promise that oh my God, our electoral system is so horrible.
Making those promises right now.
None of those guys.
None.
And I'm not saying any Republican. I'm saying those 17 people are like, what the fuck is happening here?
I mean, it's scary enough that fucking Trump is on double digits than all the others. I mean,
and
like you
his
could almost
numbers went up since the debate.
Yeah. So like you could almost add up like everybody else's percentages, mm-hmm. and they're.
Oh,
almost
but good news,
equal.
Walker dropped from third to seventh. So
excellent. He's.
I love the encapsulation of the Republican debate, which was when, you know, the lady she asked Trump says, What do you have to say about people say you're misogynistic? To which he responded, fuck you, women, and then he got lots of applause in his poll numbers. This is the world we live in.
I mean, the train wreck that he
is. Oh, did you hear his explanation for that comment, too?
Fuck you, women? I don't know.
Oh, and that woman who asked that question was on her period at the time, so.
Fuck you, women! Says President Misogyny.
Or the New Yorker headline. Republicans angry that Trump can't back up misogynistic rhetoric with actions.
Safety.
Nate Newby asks, what's the best way to die to a predator?
Talking about all the deaths that happen. Are we talking about in the game?
I don't know.
Or are we talking about the predators from...
Does Chris Hansen have to be involved?
Chris Hansen? God.
I wanted just one episode where it was actually a predator. Like, they have the 12-year-old there, and then just an invisible space monster shows up that really wants to bang at a prepubescent girl. Predator 3, sexual predator.
So you saw... You saw recently, God, there'd just be such a wrong...
Get to the high school!
You control the t-shirt show, right?
God.
That would sell so many t-shirts. Oh.
So
anyway, go on, Andy.
So as I was trying to say, as I was trying to formulate it out, you had seen Alien vs. Predator... And Alien vs. Predator 2.
Yes.
Or Requiem, whatever it is.
Yes.
And then Predator 1 and 2. My only reference that I can even really remember.
Predators.
Oh, Predators. Yes, I forgot about Predators.
Which is, honestly, really up there. Like, it is a legitimately good film.
I would say...
Better than Predator?
Better than Predator 2, for sure.
No. No.
Have you seen Predators recently?
Yes.
It's super good. Predator 2's quality only comes from the fact that it's a terrible film.
No.
Like, I love Predators I love Predator 2 for the same reason I love Ice Pirates. It is not a good movie, but it is a schlocky, fun 80s film that I can watch while half drunk.
Nope. I disagree with you entirely.
Tobey Maguire's a serial killer. It's great. Not Tobey Maguire. Who's the other one who's not Tobey Maguire? You know, that 70s guy.
Ashton Kutcher?
No!
Oh, the other kid.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You know, the one that's not Tobey Maguire.
Remember that guy.
Totally not Tobey Maguire.
But he was Venom, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one that's not Tobey Maguire, goddammit. That should be the only descriptor he needs.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like how Steven Dorff, you just described him as being the guy who's totally not Christian. Blade. No,
Christian Slater?
Christian Slater. You know, the guy who's not Christian Slater. You go, oh, you mean Steven Dorff?
There's Topher Grace.
Topher Grace! Topher Grace is the guy that isn't Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chad.
So I would...
Yay, Chad.
I don't know. Man, I don't like this argument about Predators.
Predators is great.
Predators is good. I don't think it's better than 2. I like 2 a lot more. Basically, I go 1, 2, Predators, Requiem, and then Aliens versus Predator 1.
I'd go 1, Predators 2. And in all honesty, no, I would definitely go 1, Predators 2. Even taking aside nostalgia, I think 1 is just a better film than Predators. Mm-hmm. But I would go 1, then Predators, then 2, then Requiem, then the other one.
Yeah. Requiem is a much better movie than the first AVP.
Oh, good lord,
just leaps and bounds. It has issues with gestation periods, but at the same time, whatever.
It. Yeah.
It's a fun-filled romp.
I love Requiem for the same reason I love Jason 10. Like, Requiem is really
correct.
Friday the 13th, part 72, this time Jason's a pred-alien.
Yes.
Like, if that thing's wearing a hockey mask, it's just a Friday the 13th film. He's killing the teenagers, and it's the same fucking thing.
The other reason why I like Predator 2 a lot is because it doesn't... like, Arnold is basically a superhero. That's basically what he is. Yeah, Arnold is, I'm big, I'm superhero. He looks like something that could take on a predator, even though he was horribly humiliated throughout the entire film until the last trap took out the predator.
Yeah.
But this one was just a normal L.A. cop... Who just stumbles upon this and then actually ends up, you know, killing him.
Although they try to, it doesn't work, so you kind of forget it's there, but they try to spin Danny Glover as being Arnold Schwarzenegger-esque. Because they show him without his shirt, and you can tell he's been working out because he's got some muscles. And then there's a line early on where somebody's like, yeah, this guy did this and that and everything. Even you aren't that strong. Implying that Danny Glover's like an Olympic strongman. It's like, it's Danny Glover.
It might have been some leftover dialogue in the script that was meant for, like, maybe it was Dolph Lundgren was going to be in Predator 2.
Yeah, exactly. Because they talk about, like, the Predator hoisted, like, some, you know, 400 pounds worth of dead skin person up to the ceiling. And they're like, even you aren't that strong, Danny Glover. When in reality, it's like, this guy lifted a gallon of milk. Even you aren't that strong, Danny Glover.
And this was why Concrete Jungle is better than Predator 2. because the characters make sense in the comic book.
I never saw it. I never read it.
It's Predator 2 is basically Predator Concrete Jungle in a movie form.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I did not know that. But
long story short, I like the disc.
The disc? So you're going for the actual death in Predator 2 then? We're talking about how you're going to get killed by a predator, but that's how Gary Busey dies in 2.
Yeah, but I'd want to get disced, but I wanted to like go through my head like the shovel in My Bloody Valentine.
3D?
Yeah, yeah. I want to have the disc go 3D, just bifurcate my head right along the jawline.
Sure.
So that my body falls down, but the top of my head is still on top of the disc, and I look surprised.
Okay.
That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
If there's any predators listening, please kill me that way.
I'd like to go down maybe fighting like Billy did.
Or Dutch. I mean, Dutch gets one arm shot off, picks up his gun with the other arm, and I mean, yeah, he goes down fighting. Yeah,
his other arm is still shooting as well. Yeah, Dutch or Billy. I definitely would not like to go what was it? Blaine? Blaine was his name.
That's Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, it's Ventura's character. He just gets shot in the neck.
There's
and
the
he's
other two
done.
White guys who probably have names.
Yeah. Man, I can't remember them right now.
Yeah, no, you can't. But you really can't.
I like. I'm sure that Billy did not last very long against a predator, but yeah, I like that kind of stand your ground type thing.
Sure. Well, you and I both have a martyr syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, where we want to die that way.
Yeah. But yours isn't really modern. Nobody's going to remember disembodied head.
No, in the real world, I would have a martyr thing. I just want to die a cool way in the predator thing. Because I know I'm no Billy. No Billy.
No.
So I know I'm dying like a bitch. I just want it to at least be a visually cool bitch death.
To me, I would have like jumped off the helicopter with all my equipment on, tripped over a rock, and then landed head first into another rock, and I'd just be dead.
Oh, so Black Hawk down it.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Because I know in any actual, like, if there's a character that I would actually model my behavior in real world off of this fictional character, the one that is most accurate is Dr. Smith from the original Lost in Space television series. That's where I am in any situation.
Like, in the back with a teenager?
First of all, the kid wasn't even a teacher. But second of all, there was a
teacher?
Teacher. Like, no, it's Dr. Smith, or you know what, Burke in Aliens. Like, that's who I am.
Sure, you're the company guy.
I'm fucking Burke. Not even company
you're
guy.
You're out of there.
I'm the, like, okay, guys, I'm going to go and lock this door behind me because you're all going to die. Like, fuck you, that's what.
All right, Ben.
I'll be the about halfway turned around, zapped in the back, dead.
That's fast. It?
I'm the filler death.
Okay.
You know, just to get you to when you get to the...
You're
more heroic
you
deaths,
die
like
and we
Nathan
all go,
here.
What was that?
You're there to you basically died like Ventura did.
You're
yeah,
exposition.
Yeah, exactly. I'm setting you guys up.
So what does happen to Ventura? Does he get shot in the neck first and then blow splaster here?
Yeah.
It seems weird in the timing in the film for that. I was always confused by that.
Yeah, no, he just gets
It's like he gets splattered with blood there.
He gets shot in the neck, and then he turns around, and then he gets finished off with the chest shot. And then Mac comes out and is awesome, because Mac's fucking awesome.
Yes.
Mac's my favorite of all the Predator characters in all the films.
I wish 2 would have had Mac in it. If Mac would have survived that would have been amazing.
I wish Mac had survived. I wish Mac had survived and Schwarzenegger hadn't. Like, pull that bait and switch. You go into the movie, and then Schwarzenegger dies halfway through, and Mac wins the thing.
So, like Steven Seagal in Executive Decision.
Yeah, like Steven Seagal in Executive Decision.
That was so good.
Yeah, pull that action.
That I thought was so good on Steven Seagal for taking that role that he's going to die halfway through, or a quarter of the film through.
You're ghosting us. You give away our position again, I'll bleed you real quiet, like, leave you here to die. Way to go, Mac. Anytime. Shaving his face, going crazy, talking about biscuits and gravy. It's great. Mac's the best.
Dan?
Well, I'd love to say arm bomb. It's probably going to be the Razor Net.
The Razor? Oh, from that's from the from Predators, right?
It was on AVP. They used the Razor Net in AVP, the constricting one, because it like cuts into the alien and it scars him because of the acid.
That was also in Alien... Predator 2. In Predator 2. Because he got shot with that into the thing and he cut it up. Yeah, I'm telling you, everything, Predator 2, the best.
It's okay, lady, I'm a cop. I don't think he cares. Also, I was watching
the Predator busting 2, into that old man's womb.
Raylene and I marathoned all the Alien and all the Predator movies except Prometheus because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah.
And we're watching Predator 2, and I mentioned to her that I think the Predators are all whiny little bitches. Because in both Predator 1 and Predator 2, there's a scene where the Predator's doing first aid, mm-hmm. and they just roar and roar and roar, and it's like, shut up. You know, be a man,
to be
clamp
fair,
the wound, and don't cry like a chump.
I guess the only thing in their argument in their favor is their first aid kit is literally a knife.
But, okay, well, no, they got the clamps and shit.
Yeah. Knife and some blue
drywall with the blue goo.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, like, if Arnold Schwarzenegger's doing first aid in that thing, he heats up his knife and he cauterizes the wound, he just goes... You know, a manly grunt and a teeth grit. The Predators are all like, it's like, come on, dude. Oh, your arm got cut off. Shut up. That's all I'm saying. I just want to see a...
I really enjoy that those whole scenes, though, with the old lady in her house. Oh, so good.
Zappity.
Looking to play Trollbunts for a bit. Got any janky troll lists you would recommend? Jeff has one with a Mountain King with two Skinners in front of it and a Winter Troll.
Oh, Mandrake 1, yes.
Well, he's actually changed. He's been playing.
Because the Surefoot on the Mountain King, right, protecting the Skinners that have mm-hmm. the Winter Troll animus on them is the weirdest goddamn thing. Oh, and there's bouncers, too.
Switch that around. You have the Glacier King that has
the Glacier King concealment. Straight better.
So. Yeah, he has concealment around him, so it gives those Skinners stealth.
Oh, we forgot about to talk about the Gen Con releases.
We did.
Long story short, they're all amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I loved how everybody was like, oh, Zol 2. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, by the way, here's this new UA that's coming out. Like,
he's
oh,
amazing.
Oh, Zol 2. He sounds pretty good now.
I don't even care. Like, the UA is good, but the UA doesn't really do anything for Zol 2.
He's, you know, he helps the immortals. And that, sure, that was the issue
but
is that.
Zol 2 doesn't care about immortals.
He does. He cares about constructs.
I guess so. He doesn't heal.
It means that immortals aren't useless with him.
Here's the thing about Zol 2 is that as long from his spell, it's like what, and then
it's transform.
As long as he has at least 13 fury on him, you are steamrolling your opponent. Like you will not lose a game if you keep Zol in double digit fury.
Also, we have to thank Privateer for thinking of our little tournament that I created here in Wisconsin called Who's the Boss. Zol 2 is the premier caster for conversions.
Yeah. not so obvious good mangled metal casters and locks. This is the last one. Not so obvious mangled metal caster slash locks.
Are you talking for Trollbloods?
No, this is a different question. Oh. We're done with Trollbloods. We gave him no use.
Not so obvious ones.
My favorite mangled metal game I observed, and if I recall correctly, this was a Duro, because I told this anecdote before, and he's like, that was me. So he was either lying or it was him. Was he had Asphyxius 1, classic Gatsby, with just like as many bone chickens as you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And what he would do is he upkept Scything Touch on Gatsby, and he ran a chicken out. What's Gatsby? Speed 6?
So seven, like six seven, or seven.
Six, he ran a chicken out like 10 inches in front of Gatsby.
Sure.
So they'd come up with like their bronze back or whatever. They'd kill the chicken. Gatsby would charge it, murder the fuck out of it, and teleport back, and then run on another chicken to that exact same position. Say, your turn, tap the clock. And so at this point, the person would go, because they realize that they have two things left, and he has eight things left, and this is going terribly. Because their other option is not kill the chicken, in which case the chicken runs up, Gatsby feeds, and spell assassinates their caster.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. Because without fail, it would always go the same way for the first one. He'd run up the chicken, something big and scary would kill the chicken, Gatsby would murder the fuck out of that, teleport to safety and set up the exact same position and tap the clock. And at that moment, you could see the hamster, like, in the wheel in that person's head go, ah, fuck, and start running in the wheel as fast as they could as they realized that there was nothing they could do about this.
It'd be that video of the one hamster that's in the wheel, and then the other hamster jumps in and then starts running faster than the first hamster, and then you see that guy just flip out.
That's exactly. Their brain would break because they were like, this isn't supposed to be happening. I shouldn't. They're just bone chickens. What's going wrong?
Yeah.
Well, and if they're Death Rippers, they can also kill Abby with Gatsby 1, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, they're Death Rippers.
They're nasty little fuckers. Yeah. The Ripjaws, I think, are better, too. I think Ripjaws almost be better because you can use them to go lock things down. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that jack over there, it's
this
stuck.
Was pre-Ripjaw. But because this was back. But either way, yes, that mm-hmm. concept was hilarious.
The chat is suggesting Magnus 1 triple freebooter.
Fucking son of a... If I break that, will it kill him through the internet?
Probably not.
Which Chad? What Chad is this?
It's Tort and someone else.
Chat with a yeah. T. I thought you said Chad.
No.
Chad, whoever that Joseph son of a bitch is. I'm on to you, buddy. Fucking freebooters.
Good news, you get two freebooters in the new...
The freebooters was Tort.
Fuck you, Tort!
Good news, you get two freebooters in the new Undercity game.
Oh, boy.
They're a Rampage and Warjack.
Hey, they're... Jim says a freebooter is a great fifth heavy, because if you run a big list and run out of point, literally run out of models and you need to run a freebooter, it isn't bad. And then I will maintain that a freebooter is a great source of a mod job when you put a nomad's arms on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because freebooter looks really fucking cool with a nomad sword and shield.
Is that actually legal in the new ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is?
Correct weapons. It is majority Privateer Press models. It is instantly recognizable as what it is. Yeah. My no-booter is completely legal by conversion policies.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Mangled Metal. I try to remember. My favorite Mangled Metal story actually doesn't involve what I was playing. My opponent was playing Denny 1. They came up feed on me. It was hardcore for War Machine Weekend last year. So 3-minute turns. They feed on me with Denny 1. They ship the clock over to me. I hand it back to them. I'm like, okay, your turn again. Their mind is broke.
This isn't a good story, but it's a Jeremy story. So, you know, it's a funny story. Was not this most recent Adepticon, but Adepticon 2014.
No, I remember.
Where we're running, I think it was you and me, or I was running one event and you were running something else. We were both at the counter.
We were both judging.
It was a Sunday morning event.
Yep.
And so, no, like one of us was doing Iron Arena and one of us doing it, but the point is we're both there. So Jeremy comes up and he had just lost a Mangled Metal game. And so he's reporting the game. He's like, yeah, blah, blah. And he's talking about thing. And we're getting halfway through entering his stuff. And he's like, yeah, man, like I killed all of his war beasts, but I just couldn't finish off his caster. And we all just stop and we just stare at him. And it's like, ugh. You always find new ways to be an idiot, don't you?
Yeah. Well, we've told his story about when he was doing the list check over for the Theme Force event. So this is a Theme Force event. Every list in the whole thing was all Theme Force.
Mandatory.
You had mandatory. Had to have a Theme Force. And it's more of an option thing when you play in a normal tournament. So Jeremy is doing list checking. So he's checking the list, making sure they got all the proper points. Except for he goes to Brian and I
We were all there standing around checking stuff. I think you were even up there.
And Jeremy goes, man, there is a lot of Theme Forces in this event.
Is this the state of the game now?
Yeah, I haven't played for a while, but man.
Yeah, I haven't played this game in a long time. Is this the state of the game? And this is what it come to? Where everyone's playing Theme Forces?
And we just didn't know how to tell him he was an idiot. So we let him run for a while.
Jeremy just kept on blathering away. Brian and I and Dan would just stare at him until he finally goes, oh, God damn it! When you finally realize that it's a Theme Force event. Or, I'm sorry, a tiered force.
Tiered list.
Yep.
A tiered list would actually be an accurate descriptor of a Theme Force, but anyway.
It's a tiered force.
Did you have a Mangled Metal caster?
I mean, not obvious, otherwise, you know, like Gorshe.
No,
you know.
Non-obvious. We non-obvious. Non-obvious.
I honestly would like Bart in Mangled Metal. I mean, that's about it. I mean, there really isn't that many that I can think of right now. We're asking Ben to talk about a game that he doesn't play that much.
He used to play it.
What
circle caster would you be surprised to be decently okay with nothing but beasts?
I can't. Maybe a Balder or I'd go back to. Yeah, it's going back. That's dating me. I'm like. Those are the casters I remember, like Balder first. There wasn't even an epic Kaya. Balder back then, or Pekaya. But Pekaya would be expected.
Yeah.
Balder is not a bad one.
Balder 2 with all the lights.
Well, either
the
Balder.
Thing. Yeah,
Balder 1's still fine because you armor and strength on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost said Bradagus, but the whole point was to be surprising. So, yeah,
Zabity.
Blah, blah. Yeah. That's it. That's all the Facebook ones.
That's it? There was no Twitter ones.
I have one chat one.
Uh-oh. Is it Tort? Fuck you, Tort.
It is not Tort.
Okay.
Have you guys played Cthulhu Wars? And if so, what did you think?
Yes. It's, I think it's a little more expensive for what it is, because you could play this on a very small board with very small chits.
You are definitely paying for production value.
Correct. It's a fun game. It's like just about any other kind of world conquering game. This one just has special abilities for all of your big beasts.
I think it's a better Chaos in the Old World.
I
like it. I love Chaos in the Old World, but I do. I know it's part of the way the game's designed. It's a built-in clock where it is a Korn will win Chaos in the Old World. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a guaranteed thing that Korn is going to win by default on, like, turn six or whatever. So everyone else is racing to get victory points before that happens. And I know that that's the way it is, but to me, it's just, I don't like that function of it. And so I like, I don't know. That's always bugged me as a mechanic in Chaos in the Old World. Even if it's perfectly balanced so that it's actually every faction has 25% chance of winning, which may or may not be the case. For some reason, I just don't like the one of the victory conditions is always going to be how Korn wins. Like, they will only win by dial. They won't win at victory points. And, like, Nurgle will only win by victory points. They won't win by dial. And that just kind of bugs me for some reason. And so I just like Cthulhu Wars better. I don't know. That might not be fair, but that's just how it came across to me.
No, that's probably... I think that's right. So I've only played with the four factions that come in this box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely say Cthulhu Wars... It's definitely better than Chaos, particularly because it's easier to get to the table because Chaos in the Other World, it's too Warhammer themed. You get non-Warhammer players playing it. They don't know. They don't get into the theme. They don't get into the, they have a hard time getting into the game as much. Anybody that's a gamer knows Cthulhu and they know the mythos. So
they get the concept.
It's easier to get to the table. It's easier to get played. The gameplay is better. You're almost always. Other than Crawling Chaos, I can't figure out how to win with those, with that faction. But you're almost always right at the cusp at the end of the game, with popping your big bad great old ones and being able to just be like half a second.
It's
there.
The sign of a good game when it ends. Everyone who didn't win goes, man, next turn I fucking had this. Turn I had this.
Except for Crawling Chaos, but.
Are they the red ones?
They're the red ones.
Yeah. We looked at them a lot after the last game, and I think that they've... I think that there's... I would want to play as them next time, because I think I have some ideas that either are delusional or I've figured them out, and I need to give them a shot to see which of those two things my ideas are.
I love the Yellow King.
Like, the other three are pretty straightforward. I think Crawling Chaos is the one that you most have to play... different, like in your brain, and I think I see how you have to play them, which is why the next time I play them, I'm gonna request them because I want to see if I'm delusional or if I've solved them.
The other thing is, I'm really interested to see what the other factions that obviously Kickstarter backers got and nobody else pretty much has.
Yeah.
So I want to see those, and I want to see how the other expansion that starts letting you take other Elder Gods and stuff in with like your
Cthulhu, so you have multiple other gods in your faction,
So you have more stuff to work with and see how that balances. I think there's a lot of stuff coming to that game that'll make it better.
Well, awesome.
Chaos is blue.
Is it? Oh no, not the blue guys. The blue guys are easy. I'm sorry, the red guys. I meant the red faction.
Yeah,
the goat faction.
Yeah, the goats. The black goats. Sorry for that confusion.
I knew you meant the red faction. They're the goats. But yeah, I want to play that as them next time.
All right.
Recommendations, and then we're out of here.
Make them quick. Make them very quick.
All right, because I'm going to have a repeat. And I think I've already repeated one of these, so I can't remember which one I repeated, so I'm going to repeat them both, which is that Season 2 of Rick and Morty is
off. Pete and Repeat are in a boat. Pete falls overboard. Who's left?
Hey, what does a yellow light mean?
Go faster.
What does a yellow light mean?
Go faster.
What do you want, baby?
Just go faster.
What are you doing?
You're not fast enough yet.
I can't go any faster. Where was I? Oh, I don't remember if I recommended it. I know I recommended back in the day, but the point is, the other day, when I broke my microphone, instead of playing Heroes of the Storm, I just ate a shitload of cheesecake, drank a shitload of pre-mixed Long Island iced tea, and watched like 4 or 5 episodes of Season 2 of BoJack Horseman. Watch BoJack Horseman. It's fucking amazing. I know, Andy, you tried watching. You probably watched, like, maybe 2 episodes, maybe?
About that. I'll watch it again. I've got time.
Watch at least 3 episodes. The show, it's the the first couple episodes are preparing you for the show, and then it's all amazing. And the first couple are retroactively amazing. It's kind of like Archer, mm-hmm. where once you rewatch Archer, it's like, oh, the first season wasn't bad. The first episode wasn't bad. I just didn't realize what it was. So you need to get a feel for it. BoJack Horseman's fucking amazing. It's one of the smartest shows. It's emotional. It's deep. It's surprisingly good. It's not just wacky fun. But it's also wacky fun and hilarious. What?
Fuck Archer.
What?
Fuck it.
Okay.
They moved to FXX.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, FXX is dead to you.
Yep. Pretty much. Fucking A. All my good shows moved to FXX. And so, I don't want to have to deal with calling my phone company or my phone company, calling my TV company to tell them that I have to pay like $20 more in order to get that fucking channel.
Cool story, bro. So I'm stressing that there is a season 2 of Rick and Morty and there's a season 2 of BoJack Horseman, and they are both amazing shows and you should be watching them. Your turn.
So I guess I'm
anything. Doesn't have to be TV. This. You can recommend food. You can recommend lifestyle choices.
I will recommend that you go to wiscodice.com and check out my blog. No, it's a shameless plug. No, food, diet, myfitnesspal.com.
Yes.
Right here.
I will recommend that. Friend, you know, if you're interested in friending me, I'm down 6 pounds in the last 2 weeks.
It's the best diet plan ever. It's a scale and a pen.
Yeah. We all need thinner gamers.
What I found is, as a gamer, and that's the thing, what's great about MyFitnessPal is by tracking it, like it almost is like a gamer mentality, because I look at the calories I have left in the day, and they're like a resource I have to spend in a board game, you know, where I'm saving them. Like, if I'm just not tracking and just like pie, more pie, and I'm shoving it in my face. But with this, I'm like, well, I have 750 calories left. And
then you next level and go, and I've eaten 75% fat today, so.
I don't even bother with that. I'm purely doing the calories because that's, you know, you can go the next level if you want, but I'm just looking like I have these to spend.
Yep.
How important is it to me to eat this, you know, piece, you know, whatever. You know, do I really, really need a taco right now this much?
Well, yes,
I'm like, no, but I'm saving it for, or yes, but at least then it's an educated resource spend. Yes. It tickles that gamer nerve in the back of my head.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So,
and I've used a few different fitness apps and food trackers, and theirs is by far the most accurate and most comprehensive for food.
Although there's one thing, I don't know if it was its fault or not, but I went to Perkins and they had the egg in a hole thing, which is, you know, the two slices of toast with a over easy egg in the middle of each of them, you know, like you get as a kid, and then two slices of bacon, and then a thing of hash browns.
So 570 calories.
So here's the thing: if I went in MyFitnessPal and I did two slices of sourdough bread, two eggs over easy, two slices of bacon, and an order of hash browns, it was like 570 calories. If I went into MyFitnessPal and did Perkins egg in a hole breakfast, it was 1700 calories.
It's for all the grease and bad things that Perkins probably puts in it, and they're just probably from the Perkins website.
But the thing is, I did Perkins hash browns, and I didn't bake. Like, it's not like I cheated and claimed that I was getting special healthy hash browns. I told it that this was terrible shit. And you don't get an extra 1,000 calories just to, like, that's literally a pound of butter. It's extra there to get that many extra calories. So I don't know what they did get it straight from Perkins website. Like, Perkins website says that breakfast has that much calories, but I have no fucking idea how that math works.
Don't ask me. I don't go to Perkins.
All that's left of that plate is fat and gristle. Yeah,
it's a hidden sugar and grease.
The plate would have to be made out of Crisco, and I would have to eat the plate to get those extra calories.
Yeah.
Well, you're eating at Perkins, so you've already made one bad decision.
All right. Recommendations. My quick recommendation is it is available for free on the PlayStation Network. So if you have a PlayStation Plus account, you should go get it. It's a very small little game. It's called Limbo.
Yeah, I got that, and I marathoned the fuck out of it last night. Until like 1 in the morning, until I got to a bullshit jump, and then I finally went to bed.
It is also on
Steam. I will help you in that bullshit.
I've beaten Limbo before.
Okay.
I beat it on the PC.
Okay.
And so I marathon. I remembered most of the puzzles. I marathon. I got to a bullshit jump, and I'm like, there's a trick here, but this is bullshit enough that it finally allowed me to go to sleep.
Okay. It's a very short game. It's about maybe 2 to 3 hours if you're playing it straight through. But it is a very engrossing narrative.
Thematic.
Really, really good theme for it. It's an awesome game. Just looks beautiful, and it's simple.
Yeah. All right. Documentary on Netflix, The Search for General Tso. It's about the history of Chinese food and General Tso's chicken.
Hmm.
So American food.
They do actually cover it, although General So's is actually from Taiwan.
Hmm.
Well, that's almost
so
China.
So it is pronounced So, no, not So.
You've now ruined the entire show. I don't need to go watch it now.
Yeah, spoilers. They find General So, and he's in Taiwan.
Maybe. It's more complicated than that. Watch.
Maybe.
It's not more complicated. He's pseudonym. Backtracking. He's backtracking. It's like Colonel Sanders, but General So.
Is General So a little bit more creepy now that they brought him back to life?
The best part about the thing is at the very beginning, they go to the town in China where the actual General So from the 15, 1600s lives and starts showing a picture of General So's chicken, and everyone's like, the fuck is that?
Well, great. Now you've spoiled the ending and you've told us the best part. Why would we bother with this movie now?
Because you appreciate art and food. And you need to support your local Chinese restaurant by watching and ordering Chinese halfway through like I did.
Valid.
All right. So that's it. We're under 2 hours.
If anybody wants a can of Blindwater Brew, there's one here. Just come pick it up.